I'd like to read this morning in the book of Hebrews about the person of Abraham, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 8, Hebrews 11, verse number 8, and going to read down through verse number 19. Verse number 8 begins, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that you have given to us this, your word. Now, we know today that unless the Spirit of God anoints, then we are of no avail. And so, Lord, we are asking today, Spirit of God, we are seeking you to work in and through. We're asking you today to illuminate your word, to make it real in our hearts. We're asking you for the enabling power that causes it to go deep within our soul. You have said that your word is quick and powerful, and it is because of the enlivening of your Spirit. And so we ask for that today. We need that today. We seek that today. And Lord Jesus, that because of that, then you would be honored and glorified. And we'll give you praise. We thank you for the privilege to ask and the knowledge that you do hear. And thank you that you do answer. In Christ's name, amen. Somebody has called the book of Hebrews chapter 11 the God's Hall of Faith. Within these verses, we find that God gives us a number of individuals who lived by faith. And the thing that we find throughout this chapter is that they did something by faith. There was a work of faith. Now, I believe that it's always important for us to understand some terms. One of the great terms that I believe God wants us to understand is that very word, faith. In the beginning of the chapter, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Many, many years ago, it was our first or second conference, we had a man come to our church who was missionary, headed to some islands over in the Pacific Ocean. Brother Lynn Randall came and he gave us a two-part definition of faith from these verses. And he made it so simple, I've never forgotten it. It has been in my heart ever since. And as he looked at that first part, faith is the substance of things hoped for, he said these three words. Faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. And of course, it's confidence in God. And then he said, from these words, the evidence of things not seen, He gave this definition: faith is calling into existence that which does not exist. It is calling to an existence that which does not exist. It is believing God to bring about something that cannot be seen. It is the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the evidence of that which is yet to take place. We find from this text, we find that He gives a number of men of God who are known by their faith, by the evidence of the faith, because they had it, and then those things later was seen. We find that He speaks of Abel, He speaks of Enoch, He speaks of Noah. We find in what we read today, He spoke of Sarah. He speaks also of Jacob and Isaac and Moses and Joseph. And He speaks of these men because of their faith, there was a work that was that proceeded from them. Faith is simply believing God. In verse number 3 of our chapter, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith is confidence. It is confidence knowing that what God said concerning creation is very true. Let me read that again. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I believe this morning that it would be very difficult to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and deny the book of Genesis. I believe it would be very difficult to say, I believe He's my Savior, but this world came into existence through a process that some scientists call evolution. I believe this morning that I would take the position of the true science, and that is that which is scientific is observable. And somebody observes a happening and they write it down, and then it is considered to be fact. You nor I, nor anybody I know, was there when things came to existence. But God, who was before all, was there. He did the work, and therefore I can believe what He would have to say about it. And that is using scientific evidence. It's using what somebody has said about it. And that is, by the way, believing then God. Faith, I believe, is that which believes God, believes what He has to say. Notice verse number 6 of our text. We did not read this, but notice what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So faith is that which pleases God. Simply believing Him. God is pleased with that. What parent, what individual is not pleased when we tell something and folks believe us? How disheartening it is when we tell somebody something and they look at us with disbelief in their thoughts and in their minds. And so God is one who, I believe, is pleased by our belief. Our objective here this morning is to look at the faith of one individual, Abraham. And I believe one of the reasons that God would have us to look at his faith this morning is because he is sometimes called the father of faith. He's called the father of faith for a number of reasons, but allow me to read from the book of Romans, chapter number 4. It says, he received the sign of circumcision, referring to Abraham, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Abraham, by all means, is considered to be the father of the Jew, that nation who came into being under their belief in Almighty God. And thus he is referred to often by those who are students of the Word of God and teachers as the father of the faith. And so this morning, let's look at this man, Abraham, and note a few things about his faith. In verse number 8, notice first of all, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. we find that faith always brings action. Faith brings action. Now notice here in this situation, Abraham had moved with his father Terah from the Ur of the Chaldees to a place called Haran. And at Haran, we find that his father Terah had died. It is at this place that some believe it might have been at the Ur of the Chaldees, that God said to Abraham he was to leave and go to a place that he would show him and that he would direct him in. Abraham did not know the exact location. He just knew that he was to go. In the book of Genesis, it simply said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kin and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." We find that Abraham never made a survey trip to the land. He'd never been there before. Had no idea what he might expect there other than perhaps some visitors who had come from that direction. He packed up his household and he began to move in that direction. We find that when he came to the right spot, the Lord confirmed the place. If you're in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, you would read this, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This is in a place called Bethel, which sometimes, or in the Hebrew, simply means the house of God. And so Abraham, by faith, he moves his family to another area. I believe there's something we need to learn from that, and that is when we put our faith in God, there are some changes that are going to take place. When you and I put our initial faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are changes that take place. Matter of fact, there are changes that take place in where we go. There are some habitats that we no longer are going to. The night spots are not as important as our day spots. The nightclubs are not as important as the church services. There's been some changes in the places we go. No longer are we interested in the bars. No longer are we interested in all the influences of the world. But we're interested in the things of God. It influences where we go. It influences what we do. I mean, no longer is it the worldly amusements that take our time. It's no longer... I get up in the mornings, and my wife normally turns on the news in the morning just to catch what the weather might be. And every morning, one of the things that seems to take place is the newscasters are doing something and having their top six of something. And almost always it has to do with television or with the movies. And as I listen to them talk about it, I think to myself, they don't do anything but go to movies and watch television. And that's all they know because they know every one of them. I haven't heard of any of them. But nonetheless, God's Word becomes that which is important. The things of God become important in our lives. What we do has changed when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. What we say changes. No longer is it the soap opera gossip. No longer is it the cuss language. No longer is it about the things that are concerning ourselves, but it's concerning the edification of the saints. It's seeking to build. It's seeking to pray. And our language changes. Faith always brings about some action in our lives. Faith, the Bible tells us in James, without works is what? Dead. It has no value. It is lifeless because faith is going to do something. I remember one time a fellow, he said to me, "Well, the Christian life, you can't do anything fun. It must be really boring." And I thought to myself and I said to him, "I think your life is boring. Because living by faith and seeing what God wants to accomplish in my life next is absolutely astounding. To see Him work and to see Him bless and to see Him answer prayer, to see God speak to my heart and do wondrous things and to work in families and to see Him change lives." How many lost folks have ever seen the destiny of an individual change from hell to heaven? They don't get to see that. How glorious that is to be on that spot when you get to hear somebody pray and has Jesus into their heart and their destination changes. My goodness, how can you get more exciting than that? What can be greater than to have a victory over the devil and to see old smutty face put down and God being exalted? Faith brings some action. And we find that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place where he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. Notice there, not knowing whither he went. Faith is not knowing all the stuff that is in front of you. Let me ask you something. If you knew everything that was going to happen throughout the day and throughout the next several weeks, would you be operating by faith or by sight? Matter of fact, a lot of things we probably don't want to know about. Isn't that true? Notice verse number 9 of our text. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I say to you this morning, not only does faith bring action, but faith continues in the face of opposition. Faith continues in the face of opposition. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Where do you see that in here? Where did he live before he got here? He'd been in the Ur of the Chaldees. He had been in Haran or Haran. Do you believe he lived in a tent in Haran? Do you believe he lived in a tent in the Ur of the Chaldees? Does it not make more sense? He lived in a house. He lived in a place that was somewhat or fairly comfortable. Can you imagine at the age of 75, he is moving out of a house, moving into a tent, trampling across some desert land to the promised land. That is what's taken place in the life of this man. He became a nomad, basically, wandering from place to place. After he arrives, not too long afterwards, you read it in Genesis 12, he gets to the land of promise and God allows something to take place. God allows a famine to come into the land. And as the famine comes into the land, he doesn't know what to do. Now some call this a lapse of faith, but he goes down to the land of Egypt. And after the drought is evidently over, he comes back to the land. What is interesting, though he leaves and returns, in Hebrews 11, God never mentions that. God never says that. It just simply says that he sojourned. It's interesting to me as well, as I read here about Sarah, who laughed when the angel said, you're going to have a baby another year. And yet the Bible says that by faith, interesting, is it not? Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. God sees what we don't always see. But his faith continues in the face of opposition. And though he leaves, he returns to the land. His entire life is lived. And here's the part that really catches my attention. His entire life is lived in the face of this opposition, in the face of never having any of that land as his own, other than a grave plot for his wife. All that Abraham ever sees as his own is that. And yet I read in verse number 13, these all died in faith, what's it say? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them. He lives without ever seeing them fulfilled. And yet he was dependent upon the sovereignty of God. What are you saying? He did not always know the next step he was going to take, but he knew when he took it, God would direct his foot in it. We have a wonderful God that we can believe in. We have a wondrous God who wants to take us from step A to step B to step C in our lives. Faith continues in the face of opposition. When God is leading, you can also write it down, the devil is seeking to destroy. He's called the destroyer. He is the one who's seeking to stop you. He's the one who puts up all the roadblocks. And yet we find that by faith, in spite of all that is there, we can keep going forward. It refers to it in the last few verses on Abraham here, beginning in verse number 17, what I believe is perhaps the greatest trial of all. A time that we might look at as opposition, in a sense, from God. For we find that God says to Abraham, I want you to bring that son, described here as the only begotten son, which is, by the way, the same title given to Jesus Christ. Because we find in Isaac a picture of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to bring him. I want you to bring him to the mountain upon which I want you to sacrifice him. He said, I want you to bring that one through whom I am going to give the seed, through whom I'm going to bring my promise of a nation. And I want you to lay him upon that altar and stick a knife in his heart. I want you to slay your son there on the mountain for me. And Abraham, we find, took his son, took the wood, they go up on the mountain, and there he ties him down, he raises the knife, begins to plunge it into his heart in obedience to God, by faith, the Bible says, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Did you notice that in verse number 19? Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now we know the story that God stopped him at that point, and God had provided a ram that was caught in the bushes for the place of his own son. And yet through that trial, his faith continued. He believed that God somehow was going to raise him up. That's the work of faith. It is going where no man has gone before, not even yourself. It is going into an area that you've never stepped before. You see, you have never been in this day before. This will thrill your heart. You have never been this old before. What you face today may be similar to things you faced before, but it is brand new today. There may be some familiarity, and there may not. But faith, first of all, brings action, and secondly, it continues in the face of opposition, because it's always there. One last thing I'd like for us to notice from this text. There are so many things that could be pointed out. But I want you to notice verse number 15. In verse number 15 it says, And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. It's interesting that it says here, if they had been mindful. He was not mindful of that which he came out of. True living faith does not look back. It does not look back. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 9, verse 16, Jesus said unto them, or unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If when God saves your soul, you look back and wish you weren't, how can you be fit? Faith doesn't look back to the longings previous. Faith looks ahead. Faith has an objective that is sometimes way beyond us. It is not in reverse. Our faith is looking for the time when the trumpet shall sound. Our faith is enduring until the one whom loves us appears and brings us close to his side. Faith is understanding that what we experience here may be well and good, but there is glory in the sweet by and by. We have some things awaiting us. And faith doesn't look back. I think of the story in the Bible. Jesus refers to it. In the book of Luke chapter 17, He says, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day He which shall be upon the housetop, and His stuff in the house, let Him not come down to take it away. And He's in the field, let Him likewise not return back." And then it says this, "Remember Lot's wife." You see, our life is not about the stuff. It's not about all that is around. It's not looking back. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't look back. He kept looking ahead. Did Abraham have lapses of faith? Yes. Did Abraham do some things wrong? Yes, he did. We can name four very specific occasions in his life. But we find that Abraham pressed onward. And Abraham believed God. That's why it said of Abraham that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's the only way of salvation is through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe Him, that's what trust is. It's believing Him. And as he put his trust in God, God counted that to him for righteousness. You see, faith will change us. It changes our destination. It changes our outlook on life. It changes our behavior. It continues even in the face of opposition, no matter what stands there. And faith doesn't look back. It's got its eyes forward. It may, like Peter, from time to time, see the waves. But may I remind you, Peter didn't keep his eyes on the waves. He knew where to set his gaze next. And he looked back to Jesus. We had this brought out to us very beautifully recently. He was still walking towards Jesus. We don't know how far away he was, but immediately Jesus was right there to grip his hand to pull him up. Yeah. We've got a great Savior, amen? From time to time you may look down, but it's to reestablish our gaze upon Him that we might allow Him to walk with us back to the boat. Amen. Faith is that which brings action into our lives. Faith is that which continues in the face of whatever opposition that comes our way. Faith doesn't look back. It's looking ahead to Him. Father, today, work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that You might help us to inspect if we have true faith. That we might inspect as to whether it has indeed changed us. Whether it continues even though opposition comes. Even though there's disheartening and discouraging things that show their face, yet we still believe You. God, help us to inspect if our so-called faith is that which is really not there because we're longing to go back. Oh God, work in our hearts today. I pray that You'll deal with our soul. For I pray in Jesus' name.